continue on, and the Lord willing, if Ginger survives, we're going to stay another 40 years too, okay? But anyway, turn in your Bibles this morning to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21. As we go through the Bible, as we go through the Word of God, it's very clear that our God basically has a desire for every one of us as believers in Christ. In other words, as we go through the Scriptures, it becomes very clear that God has a desire for every one of His children. And God's desire for every one of His children is that we should basically that we should be two things. First of all, His desire is that we should be holy. That's number one. His desire is that we should be holy. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15, "As He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy." As He is holy, He said, I want you to be holy. I want you to be holy every Sunday. No, that's not what it says, is it? No, He says, I want you to be holy in all manner of conversation. In other words, God says, I'm holy, and as your heavenly Father, my desire for you, I want you to be holy in every area of your lifestyle. That's what that means. In every part of your life, I want you to be like me. I want you to be holy. God's desire for all of His children, number one, He wants them to be holy. Number two, He wants them to be useful. The Bible says in John chapter 15 and verse number 16, Jesus said, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain." God says, "You didn't choose me, I chose you, and I chose you for a purpose. I want you to be fruitful. And I want you to be fruitful in a way that's going to last. I want you to be producing fruit that is going to remain." And it's this second point, this thing of being useful, that I want us to focus on, especially this morning, as we come to our text in Matthew chapter 21. I want you to begin reading with me, if you'll follow along. In verse number 28, Jesus is speaking. Here's what He said. He said, "But what think ye? A certain man had two sons. And he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.' He answered and said, 'I will not.' But afterward, he repented and went. He came to the second and said, 'Likewise.' And he answered and said, 'I go, sir,' and went not." Then comes this question that the Lord Jesus presented. Whither of them twain did the will of his father? Which of these two sons did what their father desired for them to do? Now in this parable, there are some key lessons, I believe, that the Lord Jesus would have for us to learn this morning about the work that God has called us to do. Brother Jason talked about it this morning in the Sunday School Hour, the idea that God has called us for a purpose, and our purpose is not to be involved just in a program that's hit and miss. Our purpose, the very reason for our existence, is to be reaching our world for Christ. And so the Apostle, the Lord Jesus rather, tells us that there's a work that's to be engaged in. And I want us to notice that there are some key lessons that we can learn from this parable by asking three key questions. Three key questions. Question number one, who? That's question number one, who? In verse number 28, the Lord Jesus said, "But what think ye? A certain man had two sons." Now there's a couple of things that I want to mention here that I want us to notice together. First of all, I want us to notice the principle that we find illustrated here. There's a principle that we find illustrated. For many people, and I'm talking about good people, even people that are in church all the time. For many people, missions basically is a work that covers a wide range of humanitarian endeavors. That's what missions is for them. It is a work that uncovers a wide range of humanitarian efforts. And so for many people, missions is simply creating orphanages, feeding the hungry, starting schools, building hospitals, and the list could go on and on and on and on. Now, please don't misunderstand. There's nothing wrong with those things. Don't misunderstand that. Nothing wrong with those things, but what we need to understand is that those things in and of themselves is not missions. In and of themselves, that is not missions. And the reason why I say that is because of the principle that we find in a statement made by the Lord Jesus Christ over in the Gospel of Luke chapter 9 and verse number 59. In that passage of Scripture, Jesus called a certain man to follow Him. You'll remember the story. Jesus called for a certain man to follow Him, but that man responded in this way. He said, "Let me go bury my father first. Let me go bury my father first." But I want you to notice the response that Jesus gave. Luke chapter 9, verse 60. Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury the dead. Let the dead bury the dead. But go thou and preach the gospel," or preach the kingdom of God. Now here's the principle that I want us to understand this morning. Those who are spiritually dead can start orphanages. Right? Those who are spiritually dead can do all those humanitarian works that I mentioned a moment ago. The spiritually dead can do those things, but only those who have become children of God through faith in Christ and been born again, only they are qualified to proclaim the wonderful message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the principle. That's the principle that we need to understand. In other words, to put it right down on the bottom line where everyone can understand it, God does not call saved people to do something that unsaved people can do. That's the principle. So let's notice number two, or letter B, the personnel. Who does God call? Well, you'll notice here in the parable that Jesus is giving, the call of the Father was to who? It was to His sons, right? The call of this father was to his sons. And the very same thing is true concerning the call of our Heavenly Father when it comes to this business of missions. John chapter 1, verse number 12, we find who these sons are. It's stated very clearly. Jesus said, "As many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." He continues that same thought over in the book of 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 and verse 2. "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." Have you ever just stopped to think about that? The great love that has been shown to us, that the omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God of heaven would be willing to claim somebody like us as His son. Beloved, notice He says, we're called the sons of God when? When we all get to heaven, right? No, that's not what it says. Beloved, now. Now are we the sons of God. Whether we act like it or not. Sometimes we don't, do we? But whether we act like it or not, if we have put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we are God's Son. And one writer has said it very well when he noted this. He said, "It is only after we are born into the family of God that we qualify to enter His service in the place of His appointment." And so in the parable of the Lord Jesus, when the Father needed something to be done, when the Father had a work that needed to be accomplished, He did not turn to strangers. did not turn to those outside of his own household. Rather, he turned to his sons. He turned to his sons. And if you are saved this morning, if you're a child of God, if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and if you're a member of Heritage Baptist Church, then I want you to understand that your Heavenly Father is calling for every one of us to be involved in His business. He's got a purpose. He's got something that He wants for us to do. Now that brings us to the second question that I want us to notice in this parable, and that is this. The question is what? What is it that God has for us to do? Well, the Bible says in verse 28 that this certain father, you'll notice in verse 28, he came to the first. I'm assuming that that means the eldest son. He came to the eldest son. He came to the firstborn son, in other words. And he said, "Son, go work in my vineyard." That's the what. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go work in my vineyard. In verse number 30, he then came to the second and said, "Likewise." In other words, he said the very same thing to the second son that he said to the first son. In other words, when this father spoke to his two sons, his desire for both of them was exactly the same. Do you understand that? God's desire for Brother E and for Brother Jason, God's desire for their life is the very same desire that He has for your life and my life. That we be involved in taking the gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth. Command's the same. No matter which son you are, first son, second son, doesn't matter. The Father's desire is exactly the same. And there are two things that the Father expected, right? Two things the Father expected. Letter A, He expected them to go. He expected them to go. In other words, they were commanded to leave their place of comfort in the house. I don't know. I don't think I've ever seen one here. But in the States, we have this chair that it's a big chair, and it's kind of soft, and just when you sit in it, it just kind of fits you nice, and boy, it's so comfortable. But not only does it feel nice to sit in, that thing, there's a handle on the side. You know what I'm talking about? It's not for changing gears or changing the TV channel, okay? Now, you pull that handle back and the foot goes boop, and boy, you can lay back. Now, they have a name for that chair. Oh, you got one. Yeah, it's called Lazy Boy. And the reason why they call it that is because that's what it makes you, right? It makes you lazy. And so these boys were called, though, to leave the house, to leave the comforts, to leave the Lazy Boy, to leave the big screen TV and all of that. And they were called to go out into their father's vineyard, where the sun was hot and where it wasn't always pleasant to be. And they were called to go into this place because there was something their father wanted them to do there. Let me say to you this morning that our Heavenly Father expects the very same thing from each of us as His children. You see, He does not expect us as Christians, contrary to the idea that many seem to have. God does not expect us or desire for us to simply sit on our blessed assurance and do nothing until Jesus comes to take us home. That there's something that He wants us to be involved in. There's something that He wants us to do. In other words, He calls us to leave our place of comfort, to leave our place of security, to leave our place of ease, and to go into His vineyard in order that we might do what He wants us to do. And by the way, the place of our service is very clearly defined. Brother Jason showed a real pretty chart this morning on it, but let me just show you the verse. Here's what it says. Matthew 13:38. The field is the world. That's where it is. The field is the world. That's why as you go through the Bible, we are commanded to go to all nations. Matthew chapter 28, verse number 19. We're commanded to go to all the world. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. We are commanded to go to the uttermost part of the earth. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. In other words, our Heavenly Father calls us to go to places where we may very well face difficulties. And He calls us to go to places where we may very well face all kinds of discouragements. And we may face all kinds of danger. And we may even face death itself. But He calls us to leave the place of comfort. Calls us to leave the place of our own security. And He calls us to go and to minister in difficult places, hard places, where people need to hear the story of Jesus Christ. I think the idea is exactly the same as what Isaac Watts, back in the year 1709, must have had in mind when he penned that great hymn, "Am I a Soldier of the Cross?" Not "Am I a Wimp of the Cross?" but "Am I a Soldier of the Cross?" And in the second verse of that great hymn, Watts asked the question, "Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas?" Folks, we're called to go into all the world, and the reason is simply because of the fact that our Heavenly Father desires for us not only to go, but He desires for us to work, letter B. He desires for us to work. For that certain man that we find spoken of here in our text, the work that He desired His sons to accomplish was simply this. He desired that His sons would go and work in His vineyard so that that vineyard, that field, would become productive. And so that field or that vineyard would produce a fruitful harvest, right? A fruitful harvest that would be pleasing to the Father. That's what He wanted. He wanted His sons to go work in the vineyard so that there would be a fruitful harvest, a bountiful harvest that would bring joy to the heart of the Father. You know what? Our Heavenly Father commands us to go into His vineyard. He commands us to go into His field. And He has the very same desire. That's why the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse number 8, "Herein is My Father glorified." How? "That you bear much fruit." That's what pleases Him. That's what honors Him. That's what glorifies Him. Is when we are fruitful in our service for Him. Therefore, the Lord Jesus gave the very clear command. I referred to it a moment ago, but look at it again. Mark chapter 16, verse 5. "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And the reason why we ought to be doing this is simply because of that wonderful fact that is stated in Romans 1:16, where it declares that it is this gospel that we proclaim, the message of Jesus Christ that we send to all the world. It is that message that is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. It's that salvation of souls that most pleases our Father. And that's why the Apostle Paul described God. He described God, our Savior, with these words in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 4. He described God as being one who will have all men to be saved. That's what His will is. God's desire, God's will, is that all men might be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That's what God's will is. That's what God's desire is. In other words, our command is to carry the gospel of Christ into all the world so that every person, in every nation, and in every city, and in every town, and in every hamlet, even in Bannam Kim, and even over in Irian Jaya, where people still live in very basic and even primitive conditions. God's desire is that they hear the gospel, so that they might be cleansed of their sin and they might be born into the family of God. That's God's desire. That's what it is that pleases God. And so that's God's will, that every person might have the opportunity to hear. Now let me make that in a very practical application for all of us. Very practical application. What that simply means, taking the gospel to every person, what that simply means is it means that some of us are going to be commanded by our Heavenly Father. Some of us will be commanded to go across the street. In other words, we're going to be called to be faithfully telling our family, our friends, our colleagues, our classmates. And we're going to be called to witness to everyone that we have the privilege to meet on a daily basis. We're going to be called to be sharing with them the wonderful news that there is a Savior who died for them. And there is a way of salvation that is freely offered to whosoever will. Right? That's the message. Bottom line, every member of Heritage Baptist Church, and I'm glad we sang the song we sang last, because it fits right here. Every member of Heritage Baptist Church is to be involved in the mission that our Father has given to us to reach our city for Jesus Christ. To reach our area for Jesus Christ. But while we are doing that, we need to understand that at the same time, we have a responsibility that not just goes across the street, but it also goes across the ocean. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. Very familiar passage of Scripture. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. Notice the next word. Both. You understand what that means? That simply means at the same time. You are to be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem. That's across the street, right? I mean, that's your home area. But at the same time, while you're striving to reach your Jerusalem, I want you to be reaching out. And I want you to be reaching out into all Judea. And then I want you to go over into the next little area there. I want you to go into Samaria. And then from there, I want you to go to the uttermost part of the earth. The uttermost part of the earth. And that's exactly what the church at Antioch was doing. While they were diligently striving to reach the people in their own home area, Acts chapter 13, the Bible says that some were called to go, Saul and Barnabas. They're called to leave out of that church. And the church then, the rest of them who remained there in Antioch, they were called to send. And they paved the way. They provided the means so that Barnabas and Saul could go and across the ocean to do what God had called for them to do. Here's the bottom line I want you to get this morning. Every member of HBC is to be involved in the mission of our church, which is to reach Singapore, but it doesn't stop at the checkpoint in Woodlands. And it doesn't stop at the checkpoint in Tuas. We're to be reaching not only our Jerusalem, but our influence is to be reaching beyond our shores to Thailand, to Irian Jaya, to Fiji, to India, to Sri Lanka, to Taiwan, to the Philippines, to Argentina, to all the other places where we have missionaries that are representing us on a daily basis. And it's our responsibility. Since we are not able to go to those places ourselves, then it's our responsibility to send someone who will go. It's our responsibility to send someone who will go. In other words, we are to be, as our slogan for this year has declared, we are to be a local church, understanding we have a global mission. And that's to carry the gospel to every person. Now that's the second question. I want you to notice the third one. When? When are we to do this? When are we to do it? Verse number 28, he came to his first and said, "Son, go work." When is it? Today. Go work today in my vineyard. And then he came to the second son, verse number 30 tells us, and what did he say? He said, likewise. In other words, he told the second son the same thing that he told the first son. I want you to go work in my vineyard. Not when it's convenient. Not when it's easy. Not next week. Next month. Next year. I want you to go today. I want you to go today. For some people, it is extraordinarily hard to live in the present. They're always planning ahead. You ever talk to somebody like that? What are you doing today? Well, you know what? Here, next week, I'm going to do this. Then next year, I'm going to do this. And by the time I hit this age, I'm going to have this. And I'm going to do that. And I will have accomplished this and this and this. And very hard for them to just, what about today? It's extraordinarily hard for some people to live in the present. They're always looking for things that may or may not happen in their future. But the urgency of mission and the mission that our God has given to us is found. It's found in those little words, today. Today. When the Lord Jesus came into this world some 2,000 years ago, He certainly understood the urgency of the matters at hand. He understood the urgency. That's why He said in John chapter 9, verse number 4, He said, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. In other words, what Jesus was simply saying was this. He said, I must work the works of my Heavenly Father while I have the opportunity to do so. And that's today. That's today. We need to understand the urgency of missions. We need to understand the urgency of this task which our God has called us to. And we need to understand the urgency of it because of three things. First of all, we need to understand, letter A, that opportunities are closing. Opportunities are closing. One missiologist. Missiologist, that's somebody who studies missions. They look at the global things that are going on in our world and they come to some conclusions. But one missiologist has well noted that many parts of the world today are seeing doors of opportunity that are closed that used to be opened. Doors of opportunity used to be, now they're closed. And they also are seeing that there are many parts of the world today where doors that are now open, you're starting to see those doors close. In other words, if we don't reach those areas today, we may not have a tomorrow of opportunity to reach them with the gospel of Christ. See? Opportunities are closing. There's another reason why we need to be urgently involved in this, and that is this. Souls are dying. Souls are dying. Statisticians tell us that 151,600 people die every day worldwide. 151,600 people die worldwide every day. But that doesn't really tell the whole story. That's just kind of a raw number. It really doesn't tell the whole story. You see, in the 1040 window, there are approximately 4.89 billion people. In other words, If the population of the world is around 7 billion now, that's what they say, 4.8 billion are in this one little area that is highlighted there on the map in the yellow. That's where the majority of the people in our world live. That's where the majority of the people in our world live. And yet the majority of people in that area, highlighted in the yellow, the great majority of those people have been classified as being people or people groups that are totally unreached with the gospel of Christ. Totally unreached. In other words, what that translates into is simply this, that every single day, tens of thousands of men and women from that area alone go out into a Christless eternity having never heard of God's gift and provision of salvation. They go out into a Christless eternity having no hope of ever escaping the terrible sufferings and the terrible torments of hell. Never know. They'll never know. Because nobody ever told them. Nobody ever told them. As one person has well noted, here's what they said. They said, for many people, the yawning mouth of hell is blocked only. Get this. That yawning mouth of hell that seeks to swallow up millions and millions of people. That yawning mouth of hell is blocked only by the obedient, sacrificial, hopeful, loving, God-glorifying work of faithful churches. Can we be in that number? Are we in that number? When our missions is declining. I mentioned earlier, past 3 years, deficit. What we're sending out, what we're bringing in for missions, we're in a deficit situation. I want you to notice a third thing. Time is passing. Time is passing. What we as the children of God are going to do for our Heavenly Father must be done before our time on this earth is ended. You see, the wise man said it this way in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse number 10. He said, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. Don't do it half-heartedly. Don't do it hit and miss, you know, on today, off tomorrow. No, he said, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Be diligent at it. Now, why should we do that? Notice what he said. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whether thou goest. You know what he's saying? What he's saying was simply this. Only one life. It will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ is going to last. Only what's done for Christ is going to last. And so therefore we need to understand that our time on this earth is passing, and what we're going to do in the area of missions, we need to determine that we're not going to put it off, but we're going to do it now. We're going to do it today. We need to understand. We need to understand, just as King David said, talking about his mission from King Saul, we need to understand that our King, our Heavenly Father, 1 Samuel 21:8, his business requires haste. His business requires haste. In our text, that certain man that Jesus spoke of had two sons. I want to close this morning by noticing how these two sons responded. Very important part of this story. I want us to notice how these two sons responded to the command of their father. I want you to notice the first son, verse number 29. His father told him to go, but here's how he responded. He said, I will not. I will not. I'm not going to do that. It's hot outside. And to do that, I have to go away from the comforts that I have here at home, and I have to leave all of this behind and go out there. I don't want to do that. It's going to cost me if I go out there. I don't want to be involved in that. I will not. But then I want you to know, as the Bible says, that afterward, what did he do? He repented, right? He repented. And he went. He went. Now I want you to notice the second son. The father came to the second son. Remember, he told the second son likewise, right? He said, "I want same thing. Go work today in my vineyard." And the second son said, "I go, sir." Note how respectful he was. Did you notice that? "I go, sir." You know, very respectful, very honoring to his father, right? In his words. Not so much in his actions, though, right? Aren't we that way so many times? Boy, we talk about God, and man, we can talk so well, so pleasing, honoring in the way we speak, and yet our actions, nah, not so much, right? But not so much. That's what this boy was. "I go, sir," but notice what happened. He went not. He went not. And then Jesus asked that question, right in the middle of that, verse 31. "Whither of them?" Older son, second son. "Whither of them twain did the will of his father?" You see, when it comes to reaching our world for Christ, ladies and gentlemen, every one of us are either going to be like the first son, or we're going to be like the second son. Every one of us is going to fit in one of those two categories. Every one of us. You see, there are some who will refuse. There are some who refuse to get involved in God's work, either because of fear or because of lack of faith or whatever it may be. Whatever it may be. But there are some who are going to say, "No, I'm not going to get involved. I'm not going to get involved in supporting missions. I'm not going to really get involved in the mission that God has given to my church. I'm just going to kind of lay low. I'm going to show up every Sunday. I'm going to warm a seat for an hour, and then I'm going to leave, and I'm done. That's my commitment. I'm not going to go any further." But prayerfully, there's going to come a day when the Spirit of God's going to get a hold of their heart, and they'll repent. They'll repent, and they'll say, "I'll go, Father. I will go." And then they'll begin to reach out to those that they're able to reach. And they'll get involved in sending others to reach those who need to be reached as they give their faith promise offering, as they give their prayers for the missionaries that represent our Savior and represent our church on the foreign field. But then there are some who are like the second son. See, one of the things about mission conferences, and I always love mission conference, and for me it's an emotional time. I get kind of emotionally excited about missions. And there are some during a mission conference, they get all emotionally excited either because they hear about the need of the world, and so they have a sense of pity, or they have a sense of compassion, or they have a sense of concern, or some other emotion begins to work, and so in the heat of the moment, right? In the heat of the moment, "I'll go." But then the moment passes, and nothing happens. They don't get involved at all. They're like the second son. "I'll go," but they went not. See, they went not. So I guess it all comes down then, since these two sons represent us all, I guess it all comes down to the question that Jesus asked, doesn't it? And the question that Jesus asked was simply this: are you doing the will of your Heavenly Father? Are you doing what God wants you to do? That's the question right there. Which one of these boys did the will of their father? Which one of us? Which one of us is faithfully doing the will of our Father to carry the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the multiplied millions in our world who have never heard? Heavenly Father, we thank you.